children are headed out to children's church, and I would invite you to take your scriptures and locate the Gospel of Luke, and also locate the Gospel of Matthew, and we will be floating between those two particular Gospels this morning. In the bulletin, the program you received, there's an outline this morning that you can look at that. You can also follow along on our, if you have a smartphone, on the YouVersion app with the outline. Let's look at Come and Worship the King. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 11, we read these words. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And back into Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We have come to worship him.'" As we look at Christmas carols and listen to Christmas carols, especially at this time of year, they typically focus on Jesus Christ, the babe born in the manger, the babe born in Bethlehem, and who he is. One of the Christmas carols that may be familiar with to you is one that I would like to set the pace of our thinking this morning, and that from one of the carols is the line, come and worship, worship Christ the King. There will always be worship when a person finds the true meaning of Christmas. The Bethlehem Nativity, that scene with all of its warmth and glow and fuzziness and just good feeling, is more than just a sweet manger scene. This is a reminder to each and every one of us, an invigorating reminder that God has stepped into humanity. God has stepped into this world. God is stepping into your life this very moment. And we are reminded that this God is a chain-breaking God. Chain-breaking mercy. I am reminded that nothing in life is beyond the repair of God. And wherever you're at this morning, whatever 2018 may have held for you in all of its grit and grime and awfulness or difficulties, wherever you've been, wherever you are right now, there is nothing beyond the repair when God steps into the scene. And he stepped into the scene as he did 2,000 years ago. He's stepping into your life this very moment. And in your best interest, he has spoken and he is speaking today. Christmas is predominantly about the identification of the person and mission of Jesus Christ. And spinning out of all these Christmas carols and all these Christmas stories, it tells us who God is, who Jesus is, what is the connection in life, and it kind of sets us up for the rest of the year. Now what? So what? God sent his son into this world. So what? What will that mean in my life? What can it mean? What should it mean in 2019? Jesus Christ, his life was and is a revelation of the character and heart of God. You want to know who God is? You want to know how you can somehow connect with him, how you can have peace of mind in this life and for all eternity? We look at the great unveiling of God in his son, Jesus Christ. And I am reminded that as I come to this book, I'm reminded as I look at the Christmas story with all of its warmth and inviting glow in my life and your life, I'm reminded that the revelation of Jesus Christ is really not on trial. I am the one on trial. It is in our best interest to look at what God has laid out in front of us and to come in grateful adoration before him. Jesus Christ is King, and he gives us a wonderful, remarkable invitation to not miss him at Christmas. Well, many in the past have missed Christ at Christmas. We've been looking at that theme for about 3 weeks now, how to miss Christmas. And hopefully we've all figured out how to miss Christmas, okay? By looking at some people who did miss Christmas, key figures in the Christmas story in the New Testament and in this part of the scriptures that we've just looked at. We've seen how many people have missed Christmas. And we are reminded that there is that danger and that possibility, even likelihood today, if I don't take extreme care in this matter. Many ways to miss the meaning and message of Christmas. But today, we're going to look at the complete, the final chapter in this story. We've looked at six ways to miss Christmas. I'll highlight them in a little different format this morning. And then we'll look at how to not miss Christmas. How to get Christmas right. The meaning, the message of what Christmas is all about. You know, if I get all possessed with power, position, privilege, I'm just obsessed with it, there's the danger that I could totally miss Christmas. Same with you. We can just go get obsessed and possessed with working our way up the ladder, with having people think good thoughts about us. And we saw that in King Herod. We saw that as we looked at the religious leaders of Jesus' day who were unable, unwilling to see Christmas clearly because of their obsession with the wrong things. Second of all, we noticed someone kind of surrendering a bit to the pressure of the opportunities of the day. Some of the business leaders, the innkeeper, the pressure of business opportunity, seemingly a business opportunity too good to pass up, and just gets wrapped up in stuff and misses what is right there in front of him. And thirdly, we looked at just the people, the common everyday people, and we can all relate in some form or fashion to this last group, preoccupation with secondary life options. I mean, there's so many great opportunities in life to do stuff, to be involved in stuff, and we can get so wrapped up in things that we miss what is key in all of our lives, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. We can end up with a mantle full of participation trophies and great family experiences and totally miss God. Well, any way that we miss the true meaning of Christmas is terribly bad. We've seen that in several individuals in the last couple of weeks. That's just the first half of the story. The second half ends much better. And let's look at what we can learn from two groups this morning. One group are shepherds. And another group are wise men, magi. These two groups model how to find Jesus Christ in any era, in any time in history. And here all of us find hope today. Well, shepherds, the wise men, the magi. Let's follow their example. Now, as we look at these two groups, I want to look at what makes them different from each other. And then we'll come back to what they have in common with each other. Let's look at the contrast. What distinguishes these two groups from each other? And as we look at their differences, you can ask yourself, who do I most identify with between these two different groups? And then we'll look for the common thread, the common experience. What brings them together? What unites these two groups? And so what can I learn about what touches all of us at the same time? Well, let's look at the contrast. Shepherds, wise men, magi. What's different as we look at these two groups? Well, let's look at how they're different socially. Let's look at the shepherds first. The shepherds that we just read about, in a sense, you could write this down, crafty con men. Now, you may have a warm, fuzzy picture of shepherds, but let me just tell you that the shepherds of the New Testament era, you kind of don't want to buy a used car from them. There may not be an engine under the hood. The odometer probably has been messed with a bit. They are known for their lack of, well, you can't really trust them. They will bend the rules to adjust it to always fall in their favor. In fact, they weren't even allowed as witnesses in the court scene in that time in history because they had the reputation of just flat out lying and being characterized by it, so they wouldn't even allow their testimony or recognize their testimony in court. So from a society standpoint, the shepherds are kind of out there. They're kind of on the fringes of society and ignored. And that's where they're at in the social scheme of things. And over here we have the wise men that we sometimes call the magi. Now, socially, they're very distinct. The wise men are men of influence. You might write down they have the keys to the kingdom. Do you notice that when they wanted to talk to King Herod, they had no problem? I mean, they're just there. Somehow they are received into the presence of the political leader of the day. I mean, the shepherds wouldn't have a hope of talking to the power brokers of the day. They are at two distinct ends socially. Shepherds out, wise men rather kind of in. As we build on this, just who do you identify most with? Just you, you know. We have people all across the board. Who do you most identify with in this? So the shepherds or the wise men? Well, let's look at their financial connections, the financial contrast. Being a shepherd was not a lucrative position. They were the poorest of the poor. The pay for a shepherd was below that of a common laborer. Nothing paid less economically than the position of shepherd. And then over here we have the wise men. What we do know about them from Scripture and the studying it out, shepherds poorest of the poor, the wise men the richest of the rich. I mean, they traveled with the credit card of royalty. Educationally, it seems there are two different ends. The shepherds typically had no formal education. They would have been unable to read the Jewish scriptures if they were available to them. While the Magi were known for their high intellect, famous for their knowledge, professors of highest education. Who do you most identify with in this group? Shepherds? Socially, financially, educationally? or wise men? Socially, financially, educationally? I mean, it's all across the board. And I think there is a wonderful point for all of us in the fact that they're both in this Christmas story. And we'll just look at the location contrast for just a moment. The shepherds, minutes away from downtown Revelation, and what is their response? Boom. They quickly make their way to the manger scene. The wise men are months away, and they will have to make a journey to get hands-on interaction with the Messiah who's been born. And they both just remind us of the effort and the endurance that is called for in every one of our faith journeys. We've got to put some effort into it, but we also have to stick to it to grow in that relationship with God. Well, who do I most identify with? The shepherds, the wise men? You know, it's really not a contest between the two. See, the message for all of us is Jesus identifies with everyone. No one is too low for Jesus. And no one is too high to not need Jesus. So every one of us in here this morning, we have a Jesus who connects with us and wants to connect with us no matter where we're at in life. Well, who do I most identify with? But let's look at the common thread or the common experience. What touches all of us at the same time? Let's look at these guys in Luke chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 9. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Over in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, we saw his star in the east. Each of these groups received an out-of-this-world announcement. God is on the move. God is present. He has sent his Messiah. And we are reminded that no one is too big and no one is too small to get the memo. The shepherds were not too little, the wise men were not too big, and we are not left out of this as well. The shepherds received a vision of the glory of God, complete with surround sound, angelic accompaniment. And the Magi saw a unique star. Cool. Wow. It captivated their attention. And for us, what do we get? We get a book. You see, that's it. We get a book. We are given far more than what the shepherds got. We get far more than what the Magi get. We get the book, the complete revelation of God himself. Far more than what they had to go on. And if this sounds boring to us, we have missed the announcement. God has written a book showing us the way to peace with God for all time and for all eternity. That map is the Bible, and the Bible highlights the key person of all history. It is Jesus Christ. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, you might want to jot this verse down. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it talks about the book. It talks about God's word, that it has been given, it is accurate, and it says, we will do well to pay attention to it. It's like a brilliant light piercing the darkest night. And we are smart to pay attention and listen to God's word. What did these two distinct groups have in common? They each received an announcement just like we have received the announcement. We have received God's word. Number two, Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. When the angels gone away, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. And then in Matthew chapter 2, they saw the star and they came to the Christ child, the wise men. Number two, they each obeyed God's summons. Even more than an invitation, God's direction is what these two had in common. They each obeyed God's summons. They received revelation, they responded to it. And we are reminded that no one is too big and no one is too small to get off the hook with God. None of us falls in the cracks, oblivious to the God of the universe. Nor can any of us out-hide God. We can't hide God and have him just get kind of wrapped up in running the rest of the world, that he forgets who we are, where we are, and what's going on with us in him. They each responded. They each obeyed God's summons. Now let's look at how they responded. How did the shepherds respond and how did the wise men respond? What did the shepherds bring to the manger? What did they have to offer the King of Kings? Essentially, nothing but sheep dew or sheep poo. I mean, really, they're the poor guys, and all they have to offer is themselves and their life. And their life is wrapped around sheep, and what are the odds of them making their way through the fields and not encountering sheep or what the sheep are left behind? They really had nothing to bring to God. They weren't dressed for the occasion. They really were not fit company for the one who is introduced by angels. And yet, they come to Jesus. Let's come over to the wise men. What did they bring? Probably several months after the birth of Jesus. What did they bring? We've looked at gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And some of the meanings of that. That's what they brought. Was that fitting? Was that a fitting gift for the King of Kings? You know, all they had was gold. And really, it was just as inappropriate in this sense for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They probably were dressed really nice. Nice enough to be accepted into the palace and royalty and all that. But was it nice enough? Good enough, fancy enough for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to the one introduced by angels? They both came to Jesus, and they remind us that we need to come to Jesus. And essentially, we have nothing to bring. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our good things, all our righteousness, it's just not, doesn't cut it. It's as filthy rags before a holy, holy God. Whether it's the robe of a shepherd or the robe of an earthly king or a great wise man, it's nothing compared to the infinite God of eternity. We have nothing to bring him, and yet we still are invited to come. We still are instructed to come. And Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, all who are weary, all who are tired, come and lay your burdens at the feet of the King. And no one was dressed right enough for worship, but no one is dressed wrong for worship when we come with an open heart to the open word of God. These two groups show us how to not miss Christmas. They receive an out of this world revelation. They each obey God's summons. And number three, they each find the Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 16. They came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. And back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. When the Magi saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy as they stood over the place where the child was. They each found the Savior. They remind us that no one is too big to need God's message, and no one is too small to receive God's message. Revelation, response. Let me throw another word in there, repentance. If you want to have peace with God, if you want to find the joy of all joys, we have to come to the King in a repentant attitude. A total change of mind, but also a total change of will in our life. You see, the baby in the manger is the King of the world. And we desperately need him. The truth is, Jesus died for our sins and he rose from the dead. He said he was going to die. He did die, but did that death make a hill of beans in our life? The difference is always the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is who he said he is. He said he was God the Son. He did what the scriptures said that he would do. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he went to the cross. He was that perfect sacrifice. He bled and died on our behalf. Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. He is not on trial. My response is what is on trial. Well, what's the verdict? The verdict is God is the Son, or the Son of God is God the Son. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But the verdict on my life is I'm guilty. I'm guilty of sin. I'm guilty of not living that perfect, righteous life, which is impossible. I am guilty, and I desperately need what that baby in the manger is all about. I desperately need God's grace. And the good news is I'm not so low on the totem pole that the grace of God cannot reach me. And I'm also reminded that I cannot be so high on the totem pole that I do not need the grace of God in my life. We all desperately need Jesus. And there's some really good news. He's right there. He's available. Lastly, they worshiped the King. When we discover the true meaning of Christmas, it naturally leads to worship, adoration, enthusiasm for the King. Verse 20 of Luke chapter 2. The shepherds, after they discovered the Messiah, went back glorifying, praising God for all that they had seen and heard. The wise men, Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, they fell to their ground and worshiped their King. And I'm reminded that no one is too big and no one is too small to be thrilled at the feet of Jesus. There will always be worship when a person finds the true meaning of Christmas, whenever a person finds God the Son, whenever a person finds Jesus Christ. And Jesus is for anyone who will have him, and that includes me, it includes you. Jesus is for us. We've got to come to him. I've got to admit that I'm a sinner. I've got to embrace his work. Trust in him alone and receive that free gift of salvation. The baby is the King, and here's our remarkable invitation to come and worship the King. At the end of your notes there on your outline, you'll see four takeaways for us to take and put into our life this week as we experience Christmas 2018. Number one, embrace God's revelation with enthusiasm. Embrace God's revelation with enthusiasm. With Jesus Christ, sin forgiven. With Jesus Christ, peace, despite whatever happens on this earth and in my life. You see, there will be peace for all eternity. So embrace it with enthusiasm. Embrace his word with enthusiasm. Number two, bring an open heart to the open word of God. This is God's truth. What an amazing reality that we can open it, we can read it, we can study it, we can learn. Number three, admit that we need the gospel message in our life. We need the gospel of repentance. A great book talks about preaching the gospel to ourselves every day. Whether you've been saved, born again for decades, or whether this is all new to you and you're hearing it for the first time, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day, and we need to receive that gospel message into our life and then live it out practically every day. Number four, I should be thrilled at the feet of Jesus. So as we come to the conclusion this morning, as we set our sights on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, just a good question for all of us is, where am I at with Jesus Christ? And am I really thrilled with him? And remember, he's not the one on trial as much as we are the one on trial. See, as he looks into my life, as he looks into your life, does he smile because the blood of Christ has been applied? Because we've received that gift of salvation? Because we're wrapping our life around the truth of Jesus? The baby is king. And here's our invitation. Come and worship Christ the King. I invite you to bow your heads, and as we prepare for this last song, to just take a moment. It's just your moment with you and God. Where are you at with Jesus? Where does he want you to be? What's he calling you to do? He's reaching out to you. Will you reach out to him? In faith. In trust. And in obedience. Father, we are reminded as we come to your word that you loved us so much. You didn't leave us to die in our sin, but you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to be the satisfaction of the payment of the penalty that we justly deserve. You loved us so much that you provided that open door for us to have peace with God, and you invite us to walk through that door right now. You invite us to reach out to the hand that is reaching out to us. You also challenge us that a relationship with Jesus Christ is a living, vibrant, growing relationship. We are challenged as to where we are right now and where we ought to be. Lord, may we come to you with an open heart, with a softer heart than what we came in this morning. Lord, we thank you for your gift of Christmas, for the meaning and for the application that it is to each of our lives. And we surrender to your perfect will for our life. Lord, thank you that our future is as bright as the promises of God. And when we come to you, you lift our burden, relieve our pain, and give us a direction to follow. Lord, thank you for the truth of Christmas that all comes through the name of Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Would you